If you would grab your coffee and come on in, get a seat, we'll get started. We're in a study called One Anothering, and today we're going to talk about one body. Before I get started, I might mention last Sunday afternoon I traveled, and I was going to Oklahoma. Anyway, I always like to have something to read. I picked up a copy of the Wall Street Journal for the weekend edition, so I'd have some reading material on my way up, and I started into it, and on page two, there's this section called Corrections and Clarifications. So I thought I'd begin this morning with corrections and clarifications, because I have several. Last week, we were talking about John chapter 13, verse 35. Jesus had just given a command, love one another. And he makes a statement that the whole world will recognize you by the love that you have for one another. And I made references to several religions in my discussion, and one of them was I referred to Muslims. And that was inaccurate. I should have referred to Islam. Islam is the religion. The Muslim is the follower, the adherent to that faith. So my apology, that was inaccurate. I was also remiss. Flo Mata and Steve Truitt passed out the little bookmarks, and I forgot to thank you guys. Appreciate it. I always need help, you know. And lastly, if you did get a bookmark, in the lineup of all the classes, on down towards the end, we have love one another. And the scriptural reference has a typo. So if you've got that and you want to make a change, that's John 13, not John 14. You'll go look up John 14, 34, and you're not going to find John 14, 34, 35. So make a correction there. If you didn't get one of those bookmarks and you'd like one, I've got some up here on the front. Feel free to come by after class and pick one up. They can serve multiple purposes. On that little bookmark, you got a definition for what one anothering is. And on the back, you've got the lineup of all the classes and scriptural references. Hopefully they're all right, that we will be covering during the class. It can also serve a good purpose because on it, it tells you where we meet, what time we meet. And you could use that to give a visitor, give a friend, and invite them to come worship with us. So it could serve multiple purposes. Last week, I mentioned to you that you just never know where you're going to find a biblical principle being presented. And I picked up my coffee at the Hampton and headed out to work. And I got there, and I'm sitting looking at the cup. And on the coffee cup, there's some information. So you never know where you're going to find one anothering. In this case, the world is using one anothering in a different way. But if you can read that, it says, they give little helpful inscriptions, things that you might benefit from. It says, feeling a little stressed, taking deep breaths allows you to inhale more oxygen and release tension. So if you're anxious or you're nervous, deep breathing can help. Now, specifically look at the copyright at the bottom. It's called Take Care. And it says, I can't read it. You owe it to one another. Right. Now, the application is really, it's a green initiative. It's about the environment, okay? They're recycling. All this paper is made out of recycled material. But anyway, it struck me. So I just took a photo as it was sitting there on the desk and thought I'd share that with you. So you never know where you're going to have an opportunity to find one anothering or other biblical principles being applied by the world, which should give you a good introduction to talking about your faith. This was our definition. I thought we'd review it. To care for and be cared for by one's fellow traveler in the way of Christ. I want to point out again, it's two-way, it's two-dimensional. To care for, often we recognize that we have a responsibility to care for one another. But remember that we also have a responsibility to allow others to care for us. It's just as important that you allow others to do things for you when you have needs. Not for your own benefit, but for theirs. Okay, they're trying to care for you. You should allow them to do that. It helps to build them up just as much as it helps to build us up. We're going to cover a number of topics. Love, accept, honor, one body. Today's lesson. Bearing with one another, like-minded, admonish, serve, encourage, devotion. And maybe a few others we'll speak to. But each week we will look at one of these topics. Last week, we talked about three specific passages. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. The Pharisees come to Jesus. They challenge him. What is the greatest command? And his response is, love God. That's the greatest command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor. And he makes an interesting statement at the bottom. He says that all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commands. And we talked about, well, what do you have to hang something? Well, you need a structure. Okay? So this is our structure. The second passage was Matthew 16, 24, or Luke 9, 23. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after Christ daily. The solution to that challenge is found in John 13, 34, 35. In verse 34, Jesus says, love one another. In verse 35, he says, the whole world will recognize that you are his disciples if you love one another. It's our identity, this caring for one another, this love for one another. It is our identity. I also made mention to 1A. You'll see 1A kind of riddled throughout my notes. That just stands for one another. Okay? One anothering. So if you see 1A in up on the slides, don't be startled by it. I got tired of writing one another. And over the years I've migrated it to that. We want to start with one body and a couple of scriptural references, but before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Please bow with me. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we praise you for your word, and we praise you for Jesus. We thank you so much for his righteousness. And Father, we just pray that you help us to read your word and learn from it and become more Christ-like in our daily behaviors. Father, we ask that you be with us during this time, that you help us to open your word and learn from it, to have an open heart so that we can change. Reflection is important to us. We need to look at our lives and understand if our behaviors are consistent with your will. And Father, help us to make modifications to our behavior and work at becoming more and more like Jesus. Father, bless us as we study. Bless us as we have fellowship. Bless us as we go through this day. Father, we thank you again so much for Jesus. These things we pray in his name. Amen. All right. There are a number of passages that talk about one body, and last week was purely introduction. This week is also introduction of a sort. We kind of have to begin with one body. We're going to look at several passages. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 13. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. And another passage in Romans 12, verse 4 through 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. God's word reveals to us that in fact we are one body. We are baptized into one body. Consequently, our attitude should be that of a physical body, okay, towards one another. If, for example, I cut my finger and it's bleeding, I administer first aid. If I'm up here at the church building working and John's with me working and he cuts his finger, I go help him. I administer first aid. Likewise, it should be the same with regard to our spiritual needs and our emotional needs. We are one body. If somebody is hurt and we recognize that, we need to administer help. Okay? We need to care for them. Consequently, if I'm hurting and someone comes to minister to me, I need to allow them to do that. We are to think of each other as members, one of another. These passages tell us that there are many members to the body, many members to the body. Each member belongs to all the others. Each member is unique, and each member is essential. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 now. This is the main text. We're going to stay here the rest of the class. We're going to go through most of the verses here. So if you would, open it up, because I have several slides after this one with questions. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Live a life worthy of the calling. What does this mean? To be called. Chosen, says, yeah. What else? What does it mean to be called? What does it mean to you?
A decision was made.
Good. What else?
Well, if you think about your childhood when you was on the playground, and you're going to play kickball or something, and you're picking out teams, it always felt really good to be picked first or second, real early in it. And when you got picked, you wanted to do the very best you could do because you wanted to get picked first again the next time you played kickball. So if you looked at it from a child's point of view, just live your life worthy of the calling, you want to be the very best you can be because you got chosen first.
Yeah. I'll introduce a little humor here. Years ago, there was a football coach at Texas A&M. His name was Bear Bryant. And Bear Bryant chose to leave Texas A&M and go to Alabama. And when asked, why did you choose to leave? He said, Mama's calling. Okay? Mama's calling. And if you've ever played on the school ground and heard your name, you know, in fact, my mama never called me John. She always called me John Rowe. And it was usually because I was in trouble. It meant it was serious. Live a life worthy of the calling. The Greek word here is klesis, okay, which literally means a calling. Okay? So in the New Testament, it always means a calling, the origin and nature of which is heavenly. It is used to refer to God's invitation to us to accept the benefits of salvation. If you're in Christ, God's called you. You've accepted that invitation. In order to live a life worthy of the calling, how are we to behave towards others? Verse 2 is a hint.
Gentleness and patience.
What else is said there? Humility. What else? Bearing each other in love. Perfect. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. One anothering always begins with humility. Remember Matthew 16:24? Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. It begins with self-denial. It's interesting that the writer here, inspired of the Spirit, chooses to begin with be completely humble. Completely humble. I might get humble once in a while, but I never feel like I'm completely humble. The rest, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. These are key ingredients. Sounds a lot like the fruits of the Spirit, right? These are ingredients that affect our behavior towards one another. Remember, I mentioned last week that most of this class is about our behavior towards each other. Not so much about our behavior towards God. It's what He expects of us in our relationships with one another. Generally, these require training and practice. Now, the training includes study of God's Word. Renew your minds. That's where we learn about it. If you are to be good at them, you must practice them. And I mean this in a true sense of practice. I don't believe that as a Christian, I think about doing that enough. You know, a golfer, a professional golfer, may hit 1,000 balls a day. A track athlete may run a schedule that's many, many more miles than what he actually competes at. He may only compete at a 100-yard sprint, but he runs many miles to prepare for that. I used to tell my son when he was in junior high, we would sit at the table and do algebra. And I would continually remind him, if you're going to be good at math, you got to do it every day. You can't just do it once in a while. If you're going to be good at calculus, you got to do it every day. And I still believe that. Some of the teachers in here are nodding their heads. Yes. Practice can be applied to these same ingredients. I mean, make your mind up to be humble today. Pray about it. And then deliberately work at being humble all day long. I mean, in every interaction you have with other people, try to be humble. Practice humility. You'll get better at it. You will. Practice being patient. I know none of y'all need to do that. You're so patient with me. But let's practice. Be deliberate about it. You will get better. Okay, we've got these behaviors. What do we use these things to do? Verse 3. She says, accomplish goals. And I agree. Look at verse 3. What do we use these things for? Say again. Unity of the Spirit. That's right. What else is in that phrase? Bond of peace. These things, these ingredients, will they help us create peace, especially within the body? I think so. Verse 3, keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In order to maintain unity, we must have a bond of peace. Think about the body again. This is the body, okay? Do we all agree on everything? Sometimes. But sometimes we disagree. But before we allow that disagreement to disturb the peace, we need to think about the behaviors we're supposed to have towards one another. We need to be able to utilize those things to maintain this bond of peace and ultimately maintain unity. The word bond in the Greek literally means ligament, and some of you may be looking at translations that state it that way. A ligament, you know, it ties things together. We are literally tied or joined together in peace by practicing these behaviors. It is peace that keeps the body as one.
What do you think is the biggest enemy to peace? No right or wrong answers to a lot of these questions. What do you think is the biggest enemy to peace? Division? Somebody else said something over here? Pride. Ooh, that's good. What else?
Difference.
Difference? We come from different places. Selfishness. Let's come back to that. Differences. You know, Paul even in one of the verses we read earlier, he talked about whether Jew or Greek. Okay, we come from different backgrounds. Warren. Confusion. Can you explain that? I'm not sure I understand. Lack of communication, lack of understanding due to our differences.
Yeah.
And we don't communicate those things. We don't talk about those things.
Ego.
That's kind of like pride, isn't it?
That's a
big pill to swallow. I really think the root cause typically is pride. There are other things that can disturb the peace. We named a bunch of good ones. But at the root, you know, we talk about a root cause in business all the time. What really caused the incident? And pride is usually at the root of peaceful disturbance or disturbances in peace. Human pride can work contrary to self-denial, which is the first requirement to following Jesus. You know, somebody mentioned that, self-denial. We have to start there. That's the challenge. What else does it take to maintain unity? Y'all said some good things a while ago, but you missed one.
Desire.
Mindset. What? The hint is verse 3, I believe.
Selflessness.
Effort. Exactly. Work. These things don't just happen. Maintaining peace requires effort. Verse 3, make every effort. Peace and unity just don't happen without effort. We can't sustain it without effort. Each of us has to be engaged. Each of us needs to be practicing these behaviors, learning about them, developing them. We all contribute to peace by our behavior towards one another. Yes, ma'am.
There's a scripture, and I don't know where it's at, but it says, as much as within you, live peaceably with all men.
I believe that's in Romans. Yeah. She said, as much as possible, live peacefully with all men. That admonition by Paul, I believe, to the church in Rome, was beyond just the body of Christ. His context there included the world, okay? And how we're to live peacefully with everyone. But especially it's important within the body if we're going to maintain unity. The writer had previously identified five key behaviors that we need in order to sustain peace. So back in verse 2, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and love. Sounds a lot like Colossians chapter 3. We'll get to that in a little while. Not today. A few more weeks. Fruits of the Spirit. You can look at any of the fruits of the Spirit and you can understand the ingredients, the qualities we need in our lives to improve our behavior, especially our behavior towards one another. This is a good point. We have to want to do that. Were you going to say something? No, you were just yawning, right? Say that again?
Get your wanter fixed.
Yeah. I think that's what I said, Louie. I didn't get you the first time, but I got you the second time. Get our want, WANTER, wanter. Get our wanter fixed. You have to have this desire to change in particular, to put on these behaviors, to develop these behaviors. What do you think? You think some of these behaviors are natural? You think some of them just naturally occur in us?
Just learned behavior.
A lot of it, yeah. Innocence, and I'm not going to try and summarize Steve. Hopefully he spoke loud enough, and most of you can hear him. But he's talking about childlike behavior and how the innocence of children is blissful. Okay, and a lot of the bad things we pick up in life, we learn from adults, and we carry them with us, carry them around with us, and we allow that to influence our behaviors inappropriately. These are good comments. Any others? I'm behind here on my notes. Yes, ma'am. The reference was to a Christmas story, right? And an issue where the little boy had gotten into a fight and how the mom broke the story or the news to the dad. And I think the point is in our communications, our behavior, these behaviors come out. Janice is really good at this. Also, when a child in particular is having difficulty and on the verge of throwing a fit, she tries to distract them. You know, and get them to thinking about something else and thereby pull them back into whatever the focus is. And it works very well. But communications, how we say stuff is important. You know, most of us guys probably aren't that good at it. You know, I tend to be to the point, you know. I don't mince words. I don't beat around the bush. And too often I'm abrupt and too specific, and people think that I'm negative or they get their feelings hurt, or, and really all it is just my nature, I guess. I want to be specific, say what needs to be said, get on down the road. But I've also learned with children, with employees, and others, it's important to say it again, and not dwell a lot on all the details, but make sure they understand that one point. So, maintaining peace requires effort. Make every effort to do so. Ephesians 4, 4 and 5 is a very large scripture. It's where we find our reference to there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. There are a number of places we find this written in the New Testament. Verse 5 proclaims God's deity, his omnipresence and his omnipotence. It talks about the totality of his completeness. Let's move on to verse 7 through 13. Now, I'm going to skip two verses in here. So be alerted to that. 8 and 9 and 10, actually. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What did Jesus give out? Grace. What else did he give out? Forgiveness. What else? Gifts. That's right. He gave out gifts according to his grace. Who did he give these to? Each of us? Yeah, exactly. All of us. Okay? And I want to remind you guys that this passage, Ephesians 4, is just as practical teaching today as it was in the first century. Okay? He gave out gifts, and he gave it to each one of us. He gave out this grace as he apportioned it. It is Jesus who has given the gifts. This was and is done as he determines according to his grace. The list of gifts here in verse 11 includes apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, pastors, and teachers. Other gifts are revealed in some of these other passages. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, includes serving, encouraging, contributing, leadership, mercy. Some of these you may think of as gifts, some of these you may not, but they are truly all gifts. Also note that they are not supernatural gifts. These were practical gifts. Another question. Why did he give these gifts out?
To confirm the word.
Why else? To equip us for service. Very good. What else? To prepare the church, the body, for works of service. Why else? Say again. Help us become mature, to grow up. You guys have hit on almost everything. There's one more out there. Say that again. Okay. To make us receptive to the word through our behavior. Yeah. The people that we're around. Yeah. Yes. To build up the church. To help us grow up. Yeah. But, say again? The unity of faith. Grow up into that unity. To support that unity. Verse 12 tells us what the purpose and results of these gifts are. For service or ministry. And secondly, to build up others until we reach maturity. So it's to equip us, all of us, and each one of us has a gift, right? These are, or might seem better termed as talents. It is important to know and understand that they are truly gifts from Jesus. So, do you know your gift?
Men have gifts that would make them a good elder.
Some of us choose not to use the gifts, I think is Louis's point, and I want to speak to that. I think we have a responsibility to know what our gift is. I think we have a responsibility to develop other gifts. You think about the elder, the pastor, as he was referring to here. You know, you're probably not going to practice that or develop it until you're there. You can develop the attributes that are important to being an elder or a pastor as you go through your life. And that's scriptural. First Timothy chapter 3 says we're to have a desire among many other qualifications, but a man must have a desire to be a pastor or an elder. Important ingredient. Good comment. I'm not sure I can enumerate on that any further. Accept the talent that you're given. You are given a gift. That's what the text tells us. Trust it, okay? And figure out what that talent or gift is. But I also believe that there is another way Christ gives out this grace. You can determine to develop yourself, to develop a talent you don't have. And I believe as it may not be your natural gift, but as you work at it, you become better and better. I think of teaching, which comes foremost to mind. I probably started teaching in the late 80s. Okay, so we've been going at this a long time, and there have been some bumpy roads, some tough experiences along the way. And each time I work at it, and I get a little bit better. But you've got to work at developing those talents, and Christ will give that grace as you go along the way. This is the last part of the scripture here we're going to look at, and then the lesson will be yours. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I'm not going to flip to the next slide. I think this last phrase, this last scripture is so important. From him, that is Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Okay, we talked about peace being the bonding agent, okay, and our behaviors, how they affect peace. But we're literally tied together in unity and unified through peace. That's the ligament. Grows and builds itself up in love. We are a self-sustaining organism. You may not like that word. That just came out. We are a self-sustaining system or organization. We are the church, okay? And Christ gave us gifts to help us serve one another and build each other up and help the church grow and sustain itself. As each part does its work, we all have a responsibility to be involved in that, okay? You may not like it, but sitting on the pew and just showing up may not be enough, okay? You need to be engaged. John.
You know that scripture in Corinthians where he goes through the list, you give your body to be burned, to have that love, you can really link it up to this one.
John's comment is, go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Is that right? That sounds right. But we have to have love within the body, love one another. But each part has to do its job, okay? It requires effort. Remember? Once we reach maturity, we will know the truth, no longer being influenced by false teachers, speaking the truth in love, we will have grown up into Christ. The entire body is joined together, tied together by peace in unity. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are members one of another. So think of the body of believers, that is, as your own physical body. It helps to understand it. Peace requires effort. We are joined together by this peace. Each of us has been given grace or gifts for that purpose. We have a responsibility to be involved in this way. These gifts are to be used to build up the body. The body is self-sustaining. Use your gifts. Figure out what it is. It may be multiple gifts, but there are also things you can work on developing and becoming better at. Practice your behaviors, okay? Deliberately think about it and figure out how you're going to become more patient today. Just worry about it today. Just think about it today. You know, don't worry about the long run. Let's just focus on patience today. Or whatever gift it is, or whatever talent it is, or whatever behavioral attribute it is, focus on that today. And that's the lesson. Next week we're going to talk about being devoted to one another. Our text comes from Acts 2, 42 through 47. And if you get time this week, go back and reflect on Ephesians 4. There is one body. Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Y'all have a good day.